This special program was brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Pizza Party. I'm your host, Talia Ralph. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from none other than Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn, in wafting distance from some of New York's best pizza. Today is October 2nd, the second day of the glorious 31 days that are National Pizza Month. According to pizza.com, the holiday was first observed in the United States in 1984 and was designated by Pizza Today magazine founder Jerry Durnell. Why October? Because Pizza Today debuted in October. Duh. Durnell owned a pizzeria in Iowa and created the magazine to fill a glaring hole that he saw in trade publications serving his fine industry specifically, which was a smart move from a publishing and eating perspective, in my opinion. America is reportedly home to around 63,000 pizzerias currently, according to pizza.com. 94% of Americans eat pizza at least once a month. Averages out to about 45 slices a person. So thanks to pizza.com for those fun facts. Obviously here on Pizza Party, we eat pizza far more than that. And we celebrate pizza every day, every week of every month. But this is the month where everyone wants a piece of the pie, from the drunk guy on the corner to the esteemed Bon Appetit magazine, which has a mighty sexy pizza as its cover model this month. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but I wager that it's really upping pizza cravings significantly. In any case, it seemed only right that we double up on our pizza goodness today in honor of our nation's most beloved food. Although technically it's your guys' nation. I'm Canadian, but I'm just, you know, lumping myself in there for the fun. But we have two wonderful guests who are bringing pizza to the internet in very different and very unique ways, so make sure to stay tuned for the entire episode. First off, we are chatting with Mike Nielsen from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the creator of the blog Used to Be a Pizza Hut, which chronicles the fates of the iconic brand's shuttered storefronts. Mike, thank you for being with us. Mike?
Hello, hello. I'm sorry I'm having a tough time hearing, but I'm here.
Are you being distracted by the pizza goodness happening around you? Where are you calling us from?
That's right. Yeah, there's pizza in front of me right now, so it's tough to focus. Yeah.
Nice. That's appropriate. There's pizza in front of us as well. What kind of pizza are you eating?
Well, so I just decided to try to represent Pittsburgh a little bit here, and I don't know if you're familiar with Fermani Brothers, the Pittsburgh sort of famous Pittsburgh sandwich. Fermani Brothers also has a pizza. I've never tried it before, so I decided to give it a whirl.
Cool. What is it? Although you are kind of breaking up, I don't want to tear you away from your pizza, but I don't know if maybe the pizza is blocking your clear signal, but... Hello?
Hello, yeah, sorry, yeah, it's a little fuzzy there, but yeah.
Okay, you're coming in clear now. What kind of pizza is it?
I just got a plain slice. I had to go with the slice, you know, try it.
Cool. So... I mean, I do want to get into how Used to Be a Pizza Hut started, but I think the question to ask before that is, were you a Pizza Hut fan growing up? And if so, what did you used to order?
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, I was a Pizza Hut fan as much as any kid. Being told, hey, let's go get the pizza, was a Pizza Hut fan. I was always kind of a plain guy, plain fan.
Would you do the personal pizza? I remember those being really thrilling as like a 10-year-old.
Yeah, the personal pizza is the, remember you used to do the book it thing, and if you read so many books, they'd give you a free pizza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually just read that they're bringing that back, which, I mean, we could get into that on like our school food show, whether or not that's the best way to get kids to read, but as an avid reader of a child, I was down for that. I also remember the soft serve ice cream. I don't know if that was just the Montreal location, but they had like amazing soft serve ice cream.
Yeah, I don't remember ice cream there at all. It's interesting.
Maybe that was a special Canadian touch. So I hope that, you know, all of our listeners are familiar with the iconic shape of the Pizza Hut, but can you just catch us up really quick on the distinctive features of a Pizza Hut and maybe tell us a little bit about your process for spotting them. Like, do you have a sixth sense for Pizza Huts at this point? What's the defining character and how do you look for them?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, actually. I mean, yeah, obviously, it's all trapezoid windows, roof complex, all that kind of classic roof. But it's funny that you said the sixth sense. We were driving around a couple weeks back, and all of a sudden, my spidey sense was thinking, and I was like, ooh, cool, we're in a good spot. There's going to be one here. And sure enough, I think within 30 seconds, we passed a vacant, you know, pizza hut, kind of run down, vacant, looked empty. It was weird. I think 2 weeks later, so my wife and I were driving around. I had that same sixth sense. I said, oh, here it comes. But then there was still a pizza hut there. So...
So you're
and
like,
I'm kind of disappointed. I said, "Oh no, maybe it's still open," which is like a scary thought, you know. but then on the way back up that street, a little while later, my wife was across the street and noticed that there actually was a pizza right across from New.
Mm-hmm. So she too has the Spidey sense, the Pizza Hut sense.
I think the Spidey sense is wearing off on her. I think a little bit too.
That's great. It's a great skill to have. Although you must have like this perverse sense of disappointment when you see one that's actually still in business. You're like, oh, man, can't use it.
Well, yeah, you know, it's not so much disappointment. It's more hopefulness. Those are future used to be a Pizza Hut or Up Fast, you know, as I call them. So I call those Fut Fast. Future used to be Pizza Hut.
Soon to
and
be.
And we just keep an eye out. You know, we wait for those to switch over to an Up Fast.
You go back and check
it'll
up on
soon
them.
Enough. Yeah.
That's awesome. So the idea for used to be a Pizza Hut came from, and correct me if I'm wrong, your difficulty sort of finding your way around Pittsburgh with this unique way that people there explain how to get places. They're referring to things that used to be in the location when they say, like, turn left at the place that used to be a Pizza Hut. I can really empathize with that because I'm always lost and I live in one of the most navigable cities. It's a grid on the island of Manhattan. But can you tell us the story of how used to be a Pizza Hut came to be, and how much of it do you do now versus how much is submitted by people out in the world?
Yeah, most of it's submitted. I get emails. People just send me the address, and I'll go on Google Maps and find it on Street View. But every once in a while, I'm driving around, and I'll catch one, like I mentioned before, with the spidey sense going off. But it's a lot of submissions that come in. Normally, you know, in this past year, it's really spiked. I'm getting several submissions a day. Just keeps growing.
Cool. Well, Mike, you're sort of crackly, and I can hear you, but I just want to make sure that our listeners can hear you. So we're going to take a quick break. We actually have another awesome pizza blogger in the studio. So I'm going to chat with Phil for just a minute, and we'll call you back just so we can make sure to hear all the rest of your pizza-y goodness, your tales of Pizza Hut hunting, if that's okay.
Yeah, sounds good.
Sure. So we are actually fortunate to be graced by another pizza blogger in the studio today. Sorry, I have cheese throat. we are welcoming Phil Ciccone, who is the creator of a highly addictive Tumblr account called Pizza Clan, which is sort of a one-stop shop for pizza.
For all your pizza needs.
For all your pizza needs.
And giggles.
So you, like Mike, have a similar story of friends mm-hmm. playing into the creation. Can you tell us how it started? I mean, essentially because your friends were annoyed with you, right?
Yeah, in a way. I, you know, was posting way too many pictures of pizza and, you know, Ninja Turtles and stuff like that with pizza in them. And, you know, people were just like, okay, we get it. You know, you like pizza. Everyone does. So I was just kind of like, I took the hint and formed Pizza Clan as an Instagram. And from there, you know, just started making, you know, pizza art, pizza, like taking out like the sheep from Minor Threat album and putting in a slice of pizza, or, you know, like the Descendants logo, putting, you know, you know, Mila goes to the pizzeria instead of Mila goes to college and stuff like that. So, and from there, kind of just took off and, you know, just been interacting with a lot of other pizza Instagrammers and, you know, kind of forming a community within that.
Mm-hmm. So who are some of your favorite other pizza Instagrammers?
Well, let's see. My Pizza Brain, you know, down in Philly, they're great.
Mm-hmm.
Cheese Days, you know, Pizza Underground. They're mm-hmm. good. They're good. Good guys. The Droid is a very good...
What's The Droid?
The Droid is an Instagram account and artist that does strictly... He does... inserts pizza into all sorts of albums, you know, so like instead of Alice in Chains, it'll be Slice in Chains, stuff like that, which is really good.
I need to follow him. You guys are getting a lot of good internet hints today. I don't even want to say they're wastes of time because I don't think they do. Mike, are you back with us?
I am back. Yeah. Can you hear me a little better now?
Perfect. Yes. You sound crystal clear. So we were just talking to Phil, who's in the studio, who runs a Tumblr and Instagram called Pizza Clan. I don't know if you're familiar.
No, I'm not.
But you guys are both doing really important pizza-related work on the internet, so I am glad that I can bring you together over pizza, albeit not in person. We were just talking about sort of how your blog started, Mike. We were chatting a bit about Phil's also getting pressure from friends or inspiration from friends. But can you tell us how you started? Used to be a pizza?
Well, yeah, I'll say in the first episode when you were talking to Colin Hagendorf, I heard he mentioned something about when he had this idea of checking out all these different slices, and he Googled it and figuring someone must have done this before. And when he Googled it and realized no one had done it before, he was like, well, I have to do it. You just don't have a choice. And it's almost like kind of disappointing, like, oh, I just wanted to find this site and not have to do all this work. But that's kind of how I felt, you know, when this idea came up. I was like, well, surely I'm not the first person to think of this. And there are some sites out there. It was actually a site called Not Fooling Anybody. Mm-hmm. And they do not just Pizza Huts, but all kinds of various storefronts that used to be other establishments. They had some Pizza Hut stuff on there. And then that turned into a subreddit, I think, called Not Fooling Anybody, where people still post that kind of stuff. But there wasn't anything specific to Pizza Hut. And so when I Googled and saw that, I almost had this like, oh no, the weight of the world is on my shoulders. I have to create this blog now.
Mm-hmm. Why, you know, question to both of you and the world of Redditors, why is there not a pizza subreddit? Or is there?
Oh, there is.
There is. Okay.
Pizza subreddit.
I'm failing because I'm not a Redditor. Good. Good. I was going to say it's only a matter of time before you have a used to be a Pizza Hut subreddit, but that could be like a subreddit.
Yeah.
All my friends that are mad at me
right
now.
I'm not a huge Reddit guy.
Me either, clearly, but I am like a side. I'm watching on the sidelines. I have friends that are super into it, and I'm always really fascinated by it, but clearly don't know my stuff. I got to go dig into the pizza subreddit. But how did the blog evolve? And maybe this is a question you both can answer, because it seems like you've both gained some momentum. Sort of, why do you think that happened? And what was it like building these projects?
Yeah, for me, it was... You know, it started as sort of a pet project just because, like I said, I felt like I had to do it since no one else had. And it sat dormant for a couple of years. Some friends would send stuff in every once in a while. One of my cousins was a very big fan, so he'd always pass stuff along and he saw it as he traveled. But it really sat for a while and then kind of arose earlier this year. Kind of took off, got some traction, kind of went viral. And since then, of course, the mission just crazy.
For sure. And Phil, what about you?
I'd say it kind of gained a little more momentum for me when, you know, some bigger Instagrammers would repost pictures that I'd posted and, you know, from there they would tag me and, you know, they're, you know, like the Instagrammer, I don't know if I can curse, so I'm not going to, but F Jerry, you know mm-hmm. what you can be. He like reposted a picture and that got me, you know, a few thousand followers from that. And so from there, you know, I'll still send him stuff, and he'll still tag me sometimes, and so from there, you know, stuff like that. And also just kind of, you know, keeping my eye out for all things pizza and, you know, street art that is pizza around Bushwick and Williamsburg, mm-hmm. and so stuff like that.
We should combine forces. We should, like, create a pizza alert system,
yes.
Like, yo, have you seen this great pizza graffiti on
hell yeah.
Bushwick? Yeah. So we're going to be back in just a second, because I've a lot more questions for both of you. But before we do, we have our weekly pizza news brief. We're going to start off, because we're speaking of Pizza Huts, it's especially appropriate. The brand is actually reopening its first franchise in South Africa since 2008, when it shuttered its last outpost in Durban after the market share there had dwindled. But the company is aiming to rekindle the romance with pizza. Its first new store opened this week in Johannesburg, in part due to business analytic data that predicted a 6.6% rise in pizza consumption among South Africans by 2018. So it's not just us Americans. It's, you know, it's a worldwide phenomenon. So, Mike, you might have to plan a trip to Africa in a few years.
I want to trust
you. Yeah, I predict... I predict there used to be a Pizza Hut by 2018. For the record.
Yeah, there will definitely by 2018 one will have closed. So you should, you know, look into some flights now, get ahead of the curve. If you would rather buy your pizza with Bitcoin instead of dirty regular old money, you're in luck. Crypto Coin News reports that thanks to a new website called pizzaforcoins.com, you can now purchase also Pizza Hut, Domino's, and Papa John's pies with Bitcoins. Lest we forget that pizza was the first ever purchase made with Bitcoin, period. It's nice to see virtual money going back to its roots, even though Phil and I were discussing that neither of us really understand why Bitcoin, but that's another story for another journalist and another show. I'm guessing this piece of news is old news for those of you who have been on the internet at all this week, but you've probably seen the pizza cake by now. The idea is said to have originated either on Reddit or with a Canadian pizza chain, but Pillsbury is the one that packaged it, put it together, made it look super easy. I'm going to say it was the Canadian pizza chain as a proud Canadian.
It was.
Phil agrees. That's good to know. You have my back. We will be testing out the recipe here on Pizza Party with a world-class baker later this season. So we'll offer our detailed reviews, opinions, any troubleshooting. But if any of you have made the pizza cake, please do let us know. In other Canadian pizza news, Montreal is kicking off its annual Pizza Week this weekend, just in time for me to go home and fast for Yom Kippur. That's cool, but, you know, on Sunday I will be back out there. 20 Little Italy pizzerias are offering specially crafted $15 pies all week long, in addition to classes and workshops on pizza making. So if you're in Montreal, check it out. And speaking of pizza workshops, I just want to shout out to Mark Bello and his wife Jenny and their incredible team for an amazing experience last week. I was lucky enough to take their couples pizza making class at Pizza a Casa Pizza Cooking School on the Lower East Side with Aaron Ginsberg, host of Gunwash here on Heritage Radio. We had a great time. You know, I don't know if there were sparks. You have to talk to Aaron about that. I don't make pizza and tell, but we will be airing that episode and speaking with Mark and Jenny later this year. So stay tuned for that. In pizza politics, North Carolina's Senate race is being shaken up by a bookseller and pizza delivery man, Sean Howe, I believe is how you say his last name. He is the state's Libertarian Senate candidate, and ABC News is speculating that, quote, if the contest between Senator Kay Hagan and Republican State House Speaker Tom Tillis remains as narrowly divided as it is now in the final weeks, they believe that Howe could actually pull some votes away from Tillis and help hand the Democrats a victory there. So stay tuned. Pizza delivery men shaking up politics as we head into November 4th election. So stay tuned on that. Scott Wiener of Scott's Pizza Tours is now the official Guinness World Record holder for the largest pizza box collection, clocking in at over 750 boxes. We're excited to have Scott on the show later this season to talk about his epic collection and his pizza art, but offering some congrats now. So congrats, Scott. Speaking of Scott and the other great organizers, don't forget that next Wednesday is the Slice Out Hunger event, Wednesday the 8th at St. Anthony's Church on Sullivan Street. Doors open at 6. Get there early. Everything is $1. Every slice, every raffle ticket, every drink, and all proceeds go to the Food Bank of New York City. Overeating for a good cause, guys. There's no better way to do it. That's your pizza news brief this week. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back with Pizza Party on Heritage Radio Network.
Listening to Strange Feelings by Sleepies.
Yeah.
This special program was brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheeses that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
Hi, how are you? My name is Andrew W.K. They say when things are very delicious, it must be Heritage Radio.
Welcome back to Pizza Party. I'm your host, Talia Ralph, and this is our inaugural Pizza Month episode. Although, as you all know, every month is Pizza Month here on Pizza Party. Joining us live in studio, we have Phil Ciccone, the creator of the highly addictive Tumblr account and Instagram Pizza Clan. You're going to want to follow it if you don't already. Also on the line from Pittsburgh, we have Mike Nielsen, the creator of Used to Be a Pizza Hut, which tracks former Pizza Hut locations that have gone on to, you know, I don't want to even necessarily say better things. Thanks for hanging out with us, Mike.
Yeah, thanks.
So Phil and I were just talking at the break, and we're wondering, I mean, you have spotted Pizza Huts that are now Subway sandwich places, but also adult toy stores, movie rental places, even a police department. And we were wondering what the weirdest Used to Be a Pizza Hut you've ever found is, and what your personal favorite is, and maybe they're the same, but...
Yeah, you know, it's tough. In terms of weirdest, there's one that I just wrote a blog post about today, and it's the Psalms Funeral Home in Navasota, Texas.
Wow.
I think Funeral Home, I mean, that's a pretty good departure from its original intention. In terms of favorite, it's tough. It's like asking me to say which kid is my favorite. which is to say, not that it's difficult, but that I don't want to say the answer on the radio. How about that?
Right. Because you have to play them all against each other.
Yeah, I mean, I like them all. There's a lot of fun ones out there. But I will say there are a lot of Mexican restaurants. I think I have like 60 or so Mexican restaurants that I have yet to blog about. They're kind of, and so those kind of get, after a little while, those kind of get boring, you know?
Interesting. But that is sort of an, I don't know if ironic is the right word, but in terms of like discussion of the fast food of America, they often will pit pizza and tacos against each other, because I feel like in some ways they're really neck and neck. Like, I don't know if you saw that New York Times upshot piece about a month ago that said that pizza is in the New York Times talked about far more often than the burger. So like the burger is actually, you know, I don't want to say it's dead, but it's not like the most obsessed over.
It's the redheaded stepchild.
Yes, thank you, Phil. The redheaded step. But pizza and tacos, I mean, like that's a tough battle. So that's interesting that the Mexican restaurants are sort of moving in on the
and doing pizza tacos. Just folding a whole pizza into a taco.
I like that. I like the way you're thinking there. Mike, this one is for you. Slate's article of your interview with 99% Invisible, which was very cool, quotes you as saying that, or, you know, they sort of speculate that Pizza Hut isn't knocking down closed restaurants, but it is curbing building new ones. And so in, you know, the early, late 1990s, early 2000s, Pizza Hut has sort of shifted towards this carry out and delivery model and not so much sit down. And so today there are still obviously Pizza Huts in the United States, but most of them, or at least half of them, are operating out of generic, not Pizza Hut shaped structures. So I'm wondering what you think that says about our culture and that shift from sitting down in a adorably shaped Pizza Hut to sort of taking out or delivering. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'm by no means an expert on any of this, so I'll caveat all that with by disclaiming first that I don't really know much about that kind of stuff. But I do know that, you know, I'm not sure if, like, the instances of people going out to eat has actually decreased. I think it seems to have just been really a pizza thing, because maybe not. I'm not sure. But with pizza, you know, you can get a pizza delivered to your house minutes after it was made. You can make it to order. It's just a really easy thing just to bring into your house. And so, you know, maybe it's just our antisocial tendency, but, you know, we prefer to eat them in our house and go pick them up or have them delivered. I mean, there's a lot of food, though, that people obviously still love to go out to eat. I think the restaurant industry in general is probably doing pretty well, but it's just something weird about pizza. It really shifted there.
Yeah, which is strange because it's so much better hot. And also, I mean, I guess you could share it at home, but I feel like it's a great thing to, like, go out with a group of people and sit down to eat, although clearly I'm biased here.
Well, and I think, you know, even in terms of getting it hot, you know, Pizza Hut had that cool little bag with, the tin foil padding stuff on the inside, whatever that stuff was. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can bring it to your house and it's like still essentially on fire when you get it now. So,
that's true.
And really, by the time you eat the first slice, the second slice is just as cool at a restaurant probably as it is from the box. I mean, pizza delivery technology has come a long way for better or for worse.
We do. We do have the technology now. So this is a question more for Phil, but feel free to chime in. I don't know, you know, we're just talking about how pizza is moving from the restaurant to the home. I also feel like pizza has moved online pretty aggressively. I don't know if you agree or if it's just me or why you think all of this pizza content and pizza imagery has made its way online.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's trying to get a pizza the action.
We need a...
Yeah, soundbite. put that in post.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think everyone is trying to get, you know, capitalize on the hipness of pizza, you know, and, you know, there's t-shirt. Like, I think actually I was looking online yesterday because that pizza cake, they're like already making t-shirts of it. And I think they're selling it at Hot Topic.
Course,
so it's just,
yeah,
of course they are. So, I mean, I think it has kind of become its own brand and, you know, this icon of just youth, you know, culture. And everyone loves pizza and, you know, everyone has to be cool.
And it's true. We all do. How long have you been doing Pizza Clan?
I've been doing it now for about 8 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're also, I mean, relatively new to the game, but do you think we're approaching like the cliff? Is the pizza cake t-shirt like the last straw?
It's a bit much. You know, there still are other, you know, pizza prints and pizza art that are certainly much cooler and not, you know, mass mainstream. Mm-hmm. You know, like the shirts that we hear at Roberta's are sweet and, you know, kind of take that underground vibe of art and pizza and kind of mashing them together in a much more subtle way than, you know, just a 12-layer pizza cake screen printed on a black tee.
For sure. So. And actually, for both of you, I mean, what are your day jobs? Do they have anything to do with pizza or photography or art?
Pizza all day. That's all I do. No, I work in media production for a small media production company in Long Island City. And, you know, pizza is a part of our job. We do, you know, there's a lot of good pizza places around there, so... Mm-hmm.
For sure. And do you design any of your own, like, art and...
pizza like? Art or just art in general?
Pizza art.
Mainly, yeah. Pizza art, for sure.
Only pizza.
Only pizza. That's all I do. I bleed marinara.
And, Mike, what about you? What do you do?
Yeah, I work for a company that makes scientific supplies. So it's just a big company that does that kind of stuff. So it has nothing to do with pizza. I mean, I guess at some point in the chain, it probably used some of the products that we make, but... Mm-hmm. There's no real pizza involvement with my job. I you know, I keep threatening my wife to quit and be a full time. I used to be a Pizza Hut blogger, but it turns out very little money in blogging.
Oh, unfortunate. That's sad for all of us because I think we could all benefit from a more aggressive used to be a Pizza Hut presence. So this also is a question for both of you, and it's a question I like to ask really everyone I meet, but especially everyone that comes on this show. What is it that you love about pizza, and what do you think about it has drawn people in and makes it such an appealing food or art subject or, you know, blog subject? Could take a minute if you need.
I'll start. I think, you know, I love pizza just because it has this sense of community. You know, that's kind of how it started as a street food in New York with, you know, immigrant Italians. You know, they would, you know, throw all these, you know, leftover ingredients together and, you know, have a slice at the end of the day. And it really does just bring people together, I think. And, you know, anyone that says they don't like pizza, it's just kind of like, I don't know if I want to know you. Not in like a weird way, but,
right.
You know.
I also feel like that about people that don't like dogs. I think dogs and pizza. Oh, are you one of them?
No, okay. I like dogs. Dogs are cool.
We're good. This could have ended on a really awkward note. Mike, what about you? What do you think is so appealing?
Yeah, well, I got to echo that first. I mean, yeah, when someone says it, for me, it's you said pizza and dogs. For me, it's pizza and hot dogs. Anyone who says they don't like either of those, I just question, like, what's going on there? I don't know if I can trust you. But I think pizza is kind of the ultimate casual food. I mean, that's one thing about it. You can eat it with one hand. You can be, you know, just flopped out on your couch eating a pizza. It's just one of those foods that it has no pretension. It, you know, there can be fancy pizzas and they're delicious, but it can just be anything. And it's always good. It's always, even bad pizza is always good.
True. There's only so much you can mess it up. So before we let you go, what's coming up next for Pizza Clan and for Used to Be a Pizza Hut? What can we expect going forward?
Pizza Clan, I've teamed up with a friend of mine, and she's making pizza jewelry. So expect to see that. I will, report back on that. And
where will you be? You'll be selling it on this?
I'll be selling it online, yeah. So it's going to be like pizza rings, pizza necklaces, and then I'm going to be doing like some more t-shirts and more stickers and stuff like that.
Cool. And you're also DJing as Pizza
Clan? Yes, I'm DJing this Saturday at Bazaar in Bushwick for the first time as Pizza Clan. So expect there to be some pizza sanity.
And hopefully also pizza. Mike, what about you?
Yeah, so in terms of the blog, you know, just going to keep on rolling out these up-bath posts. I have about, 500 or so on my map, and I've only actually posted about maybe 10% of them.
Wow.
So, expect to see just more and more. I keep getting more submissions, so expect more and more of that. I very often get told that I need to do used to be a IHOP, used to be a Taco Bell, used to be a Howard Johnson.
Mm.
Do not look for that. That will not be happening.
Okay.
We're sticking with Pizza Hut.
Yep. I respect that, and I hope you'll also keep us posted on the taco pizza. I don't want to call it a war. I don't want to start a fight, but I do want to say maybe it's a little bit of a race. So if you notice anything, let us know who's edging out.
I think if that's a war, we all win, because tacos are also awesome. I mean, pizza and tacos, that's a perfect war, because I'll take either side of that. That sounds awesome. I mean, I know I'm on a pizza podcast right now, so go pizza, but come on, who doesn't love tacos?
You're right, and if only all wars were like that, if only they were all win-win and delicious food instead of all that horrible stuff. On that note, on that really awkward non-pizza note, we are out of time. This has been another episode of Pizza Party, broadcasting live on Heritage Radio Network. Before we go, we're going to leave you with the slice of the day, and perhaps because I'm getting ready to go home and feeling a little nostalgic, it's coming from my father in Montreal, Canada. Although with him, it is never just a slice. It is an all-dressed Pendelli's pizza pie, complete with dough balls on top, which I discussed at length with the fine gentleman of Snacky Tunes a few weeks back, so I will not bore you with the details here. You can dig deep for the story of the Montreal pizza dough ball there, but I'm looking forward to sharing a pie post-fast to celebrate Pizza Party's surefire entry into the Pizza Good Books this year. Thank you guys all so much for listening. Thanks to Roberta's for supplying our on-air pizzas this season. Big thanks to my sponsor, as well as the fine musicians of Pizza Party Bass for our intro song. More from them at soundcloud.com. My wonderful engineer, Liz, for looping in Mike all the way from Pittsburgh Pizzeria. And of course, all of you for listening. Have a wonderful pizza month. Keep us posted on what you're eating, seeing, Instagramming, and join us next week and the week after and after and after, because obviously there will be pizza. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.